I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, the Democratic Socialists of America are gaining members, winning elections, and challenging the Democratic Party establishment. DSA calls for stronger unions, universal health care, affordable housing, climate action, and an economy in which workers, not only corporations and billionaires, have greater power. Republicans are responding by branding the movement communist, dangerous, and fundamentally un-American. But do those attacks actually describe the DSA platform, or is that an attempt to frighten voters away from a populist economic platform? Why is democratic socialism gaining support, particularly among younger and working-class voters? Can they compete in suburbs, swing voters, rural voters, and statewide elections? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Democratic Socialist of America is growing. The DSA says it now has more than 100,000 members, up from only several thousand about a decade ago, but it remains a small membership organization compared with the national electorate or the major political parties. However, the DSA is experiencing genuine momentum with elections, particularly in large Democratic cities. President Trump has frequently blasted the Democratic Socialists of America, calling them communist and the biggest threat to the nation. He has expressed that the DSA must be criminalized and the leaders deported. We're going to hear what the DSA actually is and what they want. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And with us today, we're joined by Gene L. Cohen, professor of political science and contemporary civilization at Columbia University. Professor Cohen, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
And to clarify, you're not part of the DSA, right? You're just here to help us understand how this fits into populism in American history, right?
Yes, I'm a political theorist, so I can help you understand and debunk some of the more absurd claims about what democratic socialism is and what social democracy is and what communism is. So we can do all that.
Fantastic. And we're going to lean on you to help us get there. Also with us, Ashiq Shadiq. He is the national co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America. Ashiq, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
And with us in studio, Amador Salazar. He is the co-chair of San Antonio Democratic Socialists of America. Amador, it's great to have you in studio. And also with us is Gina Kramer, also co-chair of the San Antonio Democratic Socialists of America. Great to have you in studio, both of you.
Thank you. Looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Right. So let's start off. Let's hear from the members of the Democratic Socialists of America. You know, why are you, and try and keep your answers kind of compressed because we don't have a lot of time. Ashiq Shadiq, why are you a member of the Democratic Socialists of America and what do you want?
Well, I joined DSA in early 2017 after not having been very politically engaged. I supported Bernie Sanders for president, who helped open my eyes to understanding the tradition of democratic socialism. And it really resonated with my experience coming out of university after the 2008 economic crisis, after 2 decades of the global war on terror. That's just been a horribly botched misuse of American public resources. So over the past decade, we've really grown rapidly, as you've said, and we're really grounded in an understanding that the United States is the wealthiest country in the history of the world, and yet more people than ever are struggling to get by. So we have a shared platform and goals around the basic belief that workers deserve more. We think the basic necessities of life should be run as public goods and not for private profits. And that's why policies that we stand for, like universal health care, housing for all, free college, affordable childcare, and higher taxes on the wealthy and shifting resources away from militarism and toward public goods for everyone. These things are overwhelmingly popular with working people, and we're out to show that there's another way to organize our society more democratically for everybody.
Amador Salazar, San Antonio Democratic Socialist of America, you can go first, and we'll ask Gina, why are you a member of the DSA?
Yeah, so like Ashik, I was part of the Bernie wave, so I came in on his second run for president, Bernie 2020. And, you know, his message really spoke to, you know, a lot of the lived realities that I was seeing here in San Antonio and Bexar County. We won in Bexar County in 2020 in that primary, and I knocked on a whole lot of doors. You can call me, I'm a door knocker. I have really, since that time, have really taken to a lot of the DSA's ideals in terms of some of the notions that Ashik is speaking to right now.
And Gina?
Sure. So I have a similar origin story. I was also organizing for Bernie in 2020, knocking doors. And the things that we were talking about at the doors really resonated with me and the people we spoke to. And so after Bernie won Bexar County, but ultimately, you know, didn't win the primary, I said, what's next? I want to continue organizing for the better world that we deserve, that we know is possible. I want Medicare for all. I want affordable education and housing, and how can I continue to organize for that locally? And I found San Antonio DSA is my organizing home.
So, Professor Gene Cohen, what are you hearing here? How does this fit into what you know about what the DSA's platforms?
Okay. Well, what I'm hearing is that people are rather fed up with the injustices and inequalities of what is now called our second gilded age, and that they want and are willing to organize and act for a better and more just and more fair future, which I think is great. As I said, I'm not a member of the DSA, but neither is, well, at least Bernie Sanders, when he ran as an independent. So not being a member doesn't mean that you would have to disagree or not agree with many of the things on the platform. And everything that was said so far, of course, I think is very reasonable. I don't know if, I mean, I would like to at some point, I don't know if now is the time, to just differentiate between democratic socialism, social democracy, and communism, because I think we have to get that out
of
the way.
Sure, let's go there. Let's do that.
Let's go there? Okay. Well, first of all, despite Trump's fantasies, socialism has existed as a theory and a practice at least from mid-19th century in Europe, but it's also very American. It is not anti-American. I'm for heaven's sakes. We had a socialist party in the second part of the 19th century, and of the 20th century, of the 1900s. And we had, well-known figures were Eugene Debs and others. He founded the IWW, Industrial Workers of the World, and wanted a socialist system, the assumption being this was the context in which Gilded Age corporate capitalism was running rampant, unregulated. Workers had zero protections in terms of minimum wage, minimum hours, workforce protections, et cetera, not to mention no healthcare, Social Security, or anything like that. And so, and also there was a very important link to this was the union movement. The IWW was a union, a radical labor union. And so the first wave, which meshed with social democracy, or I should call it democratic socialism in Europe, the German party was called the Social Democratic Party. That wave was really about humanizing, taming, and in some instances, sinking a wholesale alternative to capitalism. But the democracy part is real. Communism is not democratic. We've seen enough. We've been there, done that. I mean, I'm much older than the younger people who I'm so happy to see on this panel discussion. And so I've experienced and known about Soviet-style communism. Didn't experience directly Maoist-type communism is an authoritarian, or the really existing communism was an authoritarian system of government, okay? That's right. Not what democratic socialism is about. And in fact, the first theorist in Europe to articulate this was Edward Bernstein, very well known, arguing for democracy and basically for the kinds of reforms we're looking for.
All right, so I got to cut you off there. We got to go to this break. But basically, yeah. You're saying the emphasis is on democratic not socialist. Socialist is informative, but not defining in terms of that it's being used as a scare tactic by the right. We're going to continue. The number to call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues right after this break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Democratic Socialist of America. It is a political movement. We're going to find out what actually it is. Not really clear in a lot of ways, but they are a political force in America. They are challenging the Democratic establishment. They are infuriating the right wing. They are attracting millions of people who are interested in their platform that is promising to perform for the working class in America, as we see billionaires achieving a greater and greater political power in the nation and pushing the working class people aside or to the bottom. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we have a voicemail from a listener.
Hi, this is Vicki. I live in San Antonio. David, I love your show. Thanks for having these guests on today. I have been a member of DSA in the past, started in 2020, and I did not rejoin this year because of fear of, you know, this lunacy that Trump and Stephen Miller is doing now, that saying everybody that isn't Republican is basically a terrorist. And I want to know what your guests have to say about that. Another question I want to ask is also, what about general strikes? I think that's something that could be helpful. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you being on the show.
All right. Fear of retaliation. Also, I'll ask you about strikes, if there's a general strike possible. Let's go to Ashiq Shadiq, the national co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America. Do you have other, is there a concern that the current administration could do retaliation against members of the DSA?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking that question. That's absolutely a live concern. What we're seeing is such an escalation of tactics from past red scares that happened in history, which Gene alluded to, and is a history that many of us are learning about because we were taught in schools, very briefly about the red scares, but we weren't really taught. I went to public schools and never learned about the deep American history of socialism that Gene talked about. That's really responsible for so many of the things that we might take for granted today, like a 40-hour work week, like ending child labor, like major gains for workers that happened over a century ago. So the anti-communist, anti-socialist rhetoric that Trump is using right now is something that's part of dark episodes of American history that really suppressed movements that helped win things, that expanded economic and social rights for so many Americans. And that's something that today we're tapping into that legacy and that history, and we're showing that democratic socialism is very sensible and pragmatic as a response to how extreme our society has become because of the billionaire class. People like Trump and people behind him politically are very threatened by what we represent, because what we represent is the interests of most Americans, most working people. So we're very serious about organizing to expand democracy in every part of our lives. And that means operating openly and publicly and just bringing more people into the democratic process. So we're not shying away from that.
Amador Salazar, when you go door knocking, you tell people you're with the Democratic Socialists of America. Anyone ever give you you guys are communists?
I mean, most of the time that I'm knocking on doors, I'm, I'm either, talking about the candidates that we've endorsed or, an issue that's going on in the community. Right now, we've been knocking on doors on the east side in regards to the warehouse that's being converted.
The ICE warehouse.
Yes, that's being converted into an ICE detention facility. But, the fear is real. Sometimes you get people that, don't really want to hear your message, and that's okay. You just move on to the next door because that's what organizing is about. You're not always going to convince everyone right away. And, for the caller, I would, just asked to reflect on the words of Emmett Tenayuca, one of the, you know, preeminent labor organizers here in San Antonio history. She said, "I never thought in terms of fear. I thought in terms of justice." And really, that's what this is about, right?
Yeah, but she was fearless.
Yeah, absolutely. La pasionada. Like, she is, was not scared of anything.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Professor Cohen about, real quickly, if we could, this fear, the Red Scare, is something like that could come back? Is that something to think about?
Well, it's astonishing it's coming back, because it started after the Russian Revolution in 1917, and we haven't had a communist. The Cold War has been over for quite some time, let's put it that way. And I don't think, for young people, I can't imagine how this kind of communist labeling will resonate. It just reveals how old Trump is, because he's part of that generation, but so am I. On the other hand, for democratic socialism or social democracy, you need to know what capitalism is and what you're trying to change. And I think for democratic socialists, from what I heard today, that the main thing is that certain things should not be commodities. In other words, we don't sell babies. I mean, I hope, at least in principle, we don't. Health care should be available for all. You wouldn't have Central Park, I'm a New Yorker, or the national parks if they were open to commodification businesses. So part of the project is decommodification of some key areas of life that really are tantamount to fulfilling our basic needs. That doesn't mean a nationalization of all business. I don't think, no one has said that so far as I've heard. But it also does mean that certain things should not be in the control of private property. A private property in the means of production. And so certain things like, I think it's nice to have clean air and water that you could drink, and the kinds of regulations.
Right, a protection of the commons.
What? Yes, protection of the commons.
I'm going to go to go back to Ashiq and ask him about the question about a general strike. Talk about if that is something that could happen. What would that look like?
That's a great question. So it's a core part of our theory of change for how we can politically transform our society, that a strong labor movement, organized workers, are the ones who can make big changes happen. So in the past, in history, there have been general strikes where workers across many sectors of society, different economic sectors, rose up and went on strike and demanded huge changes to how the political system should work in their interests, in ordinary people's interests, in workers' interests. So that's something that many of us are coming to understand. We're seeing examples in other countries of workers rising up and going on strike and getting big changes. There was a huge development in January this year when Minneapolis was basically under siege by ICE, by federal force that Trump's office sent in to occupy Minneapolis and terrorize communities. And many sectors of society across Minneapolis had a day of action on January 23rd that had many aspects of a general strike, and they created enough public pressure with that to force ICE to withdraw after that.
Right. If you could call a general strike, what would that really work? I mean, you know, are there enough supporters of the DSA that would say, okay, we're going to go strike, and then you would actually see it would freeze up America?
It can't happen. There have been memes posted online saying we call a general strike next week or something. Let's do it. That's not a way to do it. We can't just announce it's going to happen and then expect it to happen.
I'm going to go to Gina Kramer. She wants to add to that.
I'll just say here locally, like Ashiq said, it's not something that happens overnight, but it's something we're building towards. We know that organizing works. And so here locally, we were an integral part of our May Day Strong coalition. And if you don't know the history of May Day, folks, I don't have time to share it now, but definitely look up May Day.
It's the International Day of the Worker.
Exactly. Yep. And so we were a coalition of labor unions, community organizations coming together on May 1st for collective action, largest May Day turnout here in San Antonio in quite some time. And we're building up to the biggest May Day ever in 2028. And that's something that's going to be happening nationwide, organizing around common good demands, fully funded public schools.
I mean, it would seem like we have a very unpopular war, more unpopular than Vietnam. We have these moves to destabilize our elections. All sorts of things are happening. What are we waiting for us? If this is a tool that can somehow shake things up, what are you guys waiting for?
Organizing pressure takes time, and I'll say that Sean Payne, the president of UAW, has made the call for May Day 2028, and that's what everyone across the country is organizing towards, is a general strike on that date.
All right, so we're going to take a break here, we got a pitch for, we'll come back after this break. We got a pitch for our public radio station, and then we will come back, continue our conversation about the Democratic Socialists of America, and you can call in 833-877-8255. I've got some callers on the board. I'll get you on the air when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Tanya Mosley from Fresh Air. Texas Public Radio is here for everyone, delivering trusted journalism, thoughtful storytelling, and meaningful conversations free of charge. But it takes support from listeners like you to keep it going. During TPR's fundraising drive, we're asking everyone who can to pitch in. Your donation makes a real impact and helps ensure that this critical public service remains available to all. Please give now at tpr.org, and thank you for making public radio possible.
The number to call to support your public radio station, 800-622-8977. You can go to tpr.org. You could also use the handy-dandy TPR app. There's a red button there. You click on that and keep on clicking to find the level that's right for your budget. Also select some awesome, snazzy thank you gifts. And I hope you do, because you keep public radio going strong. And with me in the studio to tell us more is Dan Katz, the Vice President of News for TPR.
Thank you. It's good to be here. There may be some irony right now in asking for donations during a conversation about socialism, but there is nothing complicated about this.
Well, it's about, not about socialism. It's about the Democratic Socialists of America. There's a big difference. That's part of the conversation.
Yeah, you can reduce it to a label or a shouting match, or you could spend an hour asking where the movement came from, what its leaders actually believe, and what they want to change and what it could mean for San Antonio. And that takes research, it takes preparation, it takes a program willing to let important questions breathe. And right now, we need the Source listeners to step up. We have $67,000 left to raise towards our $250,000 goal. Every gift is being matched dollar for dollar. 800-622-8977 is the number to call in. We are looking to our Source listeners now. You can give online as well at tpr.org.
So how does this conversation fit into the mission of what we do here on The Source and Texas Public Radio? What we're trying to do is provide clear information directly from The Source, people who are leaders in the Democratic Socialists of America movement, and ask them the questions. If you've got the burning questions about what's behind this movement, this is the chance that we get to do that. We can break down some of the myths. We can talk about what this organization, how they're being mislabeled, and really try to figure out, like, and so voters can make an informed decision. That's what we're trying to do all the time. You know, we'll talk to other members of, you know, conservatives, other people, other progressives. We know what's happening, where are you coming from? And we have our political debates, then, you know, with the elections that we had during the primaries. This is an opportunity so people can be informed and they know who they're voting for and what they're all about. It doesn't happen by itself. It happens because you have supported public radio and you want to be informed and you want your neighbors to be informed. And that only happens when you become a member of Texas Public Radio. Call now to become a supporter, a sustainer, 800-622-8977. You can go online to tpr.org, or you could also go to the TPR app. Dan?
You know, ahead of the midterms, The Source is really the only place in our area where anyone can call in with a question or comment and talk to the candidates. And this is something to support. We have a few people calling in right now that I want to thank. Peggy in San Antonio, who just increased her monthly contribution to TPR. Peggy, we really appreciate your sustained support. Let's all be like Peggy and help wrap this pledge drive up. You can give now at tpr.org, or you can call 800-622-8977.
If there's a lot of places you can go in on the internet that will tell you what they think you want to know, and that information, I mean, sometimes I read stuff online and I go, is that true? Did that really happen? You know, and then I have to go Google it and find out, and I'll have to find a reliable source of information to really dig in deeper and say, oh, okay, there's a lot of spin here. This is not real. But when you go to TPR, when you listen to the TPR newscast, everything's been vetted, everything has gone through an editorial process. You don't have to go to Google and find out, is that story real? I don't know. That's part of what you're getting when you support public radio, not just for you, but for your community. 800-622-8977 is the number to call. You support public radio because you support real, reliable journalism day in and day out when we have emergencies, when we need people to know. And right now in America, every day is an emergency because something weird is happening every single day. Find out what's real, reliable by supporting and tuning in and telling your friends about public radio. 800-622-8977. That's how you support and keep public radio strong.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The Democratic Socialists of America is a growing political movement, an organization, a party, and it is changing things with the Democrats. There's a lot of tension between the establishment Democrats, people like James Carville, who have attacked the DSA and say they're ruining everything for the Democrats. And then and then there are the Republicans who say they are the devil for politics and that you don't want to have anything to do with them. We're trying to cut through all that and give you the facts. We're talking about the DSA, what they stand for, what they want. You can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Daniel on the phones. Daniel, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, thank you for having this panel. This is great. I think you said emergency a while ago. I think the reason there is such a thought is because Americans are disgusted with politics. How many times have you heard people say they're all crooks? And I always challenge them, no, they're not all crooks. They're people. And a lot of them have principles, Republican, Democrats, whoever. But yeah, the image is that most of them are all crooks. And I'm in my 60s. I'm a staunch Democrat. And I really appreciate what your panel is saying, because these are similar ideas that I've always believed in, you know, honesty and integrity, especially in politics. And I heard George Clooney earlier speaking about this, and he makes a lot of sense. And after all, Canada and England, I think, are democratic socialist countries, and they're not communists. Communists is a bunch of Trump's bull to mislead again. Can you list some other countries that are democratic socialist parties or run by them? And insofar as the research is concerned about researching this or anything else to support our country, I think America is worth it. And I think on our 300th anniversary, I won't be around, but people will wonder, where were we? On which side? This is like my dad fought in Normandy against the fascists, and now it seems that we have one in the White House. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right, Daniel, thank you for that. Ashiq Shariq, the National Co-Chair of the Democratic Socialists of America, if you could quickly kind of talk about, are there other countries that you model what the DSA is doing?
That's a great question. I think, you know, this is something that plenty of our own members have a wide range of perspectives on that question. But I think if we look at other countries, I'm not sure I would point to any particular country as saying, like, this is a democratic socialist country right now. But there are definitely many countries where democratic socialists helped win major changes. People talk about the Scandinavian countries a lot, had organized workers, socialists helped win major gains to the point where they have still universal healthcare systems, much more protections for workers than exist in the United States. But they've also been having a lot of those gains attacked in similar ways as in the United States, where the gains of the New Deal almost a century ago have been really attacked by very powerful business interests and from the right wing. That's happening in countries like Scandinavia and across Europe as well. So for us, it's never a fixed thing. You know, you can win things, you can lose things, but it's just about how organized are large groups of people to win.
Now, caller, let's go to Sean. Sean, you're on The Source. Go ahead. And Sean, you there? All right, let's go to the next caller then. We have Robert. And Robert, are you there?
Hey. Yes, I'm here. Thank you for taking my call. Look, I'm involved in the Democratic Party. As a matter of fact, I'm a precinct chair here in Bexar County. And I'm happy to hear this party, this group, bring to light the needs that the regular folks need. Because I think things are lopsided and more to the benefit of corporations. And we need to speak out, speak up, and this group is doing that. And I am so happy. I like the sound for it, and I hope that they expand and
okay.
And do the work that needs to be done.
We're losing the call, but Robert, I think the point was taken. So what we're hearing from like Robert and other people is that they like when the Democratic Socialists are embracing some of these traditional old school values of the Democratic Party, New Deal stuff or the LBJ stuff. But the Democratic Socialist of America has a platform that goes beyond those things, including things like abolishing the Senate. And you have to wonder, so Gene Cohen, I know that you have written about how left populist movements can pursue elusive goals that sometimes don't work. So I don't know can the Democratic Socialist of America reach too far to the left and then nullify what they would actually achieve?
Well, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, every movement, every party is diverse. Of course, the Democratic Socialists have everything in it, from social democrats to basically liberal democrats even, to more radical, I guess, even socialists or borderline. They're not communists. But so I don't think that that labeling a movement in terms of its extremes is helpful. All movements have extremes, including the one behind the person in power in the presidency right now. But I think that what's important to see is that what differentiates, I think, contemporary democratic socialists from the older New Deal, which was our version of social democracy in Germany, in Germany and Sweden, is that it's more inclusive. It involves, first of all, women. It involves concern for the environment, for not just industrial workers, but in some sense, everybody's a worker. So when we say worker, or when they say worker, they mean 99% of the population, not people working in some industrial plant only, but also everybody else, farm workers, people on the farm, et cetera. So the point is that it's more inclusive, it seeks to be more democratic, and it's less dogmatic than older versions. But it also, unlike social democracy, wants to have, to ensure that there's more voice, I think, from below, from the community, for consumers. Not only, we have a variety of roles. We're citizens, we're consumers, we're workers, we're parents, etc. So I think that the movement, whatever is in the platform, speaks to that kind of those diverse sets of needs that are imperiled by the new version of authoritarianism in the White House and corporate finance capitalism, asset manager capitalism that is really creating an incredible extreme of inequality and poverty, tantamount to what we saw in the Gilded Age.
Let's go to Raphael on the phones. And Raphael, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask the DSA their thoughts on, I think it was Marco Rubio who was saying that we have, a problem with the far left and that needs to be, solved. So I'm wondering if outing yourself as a democratic socialist, if that might be a problem in the future, if it might be detrimental, if, maybe the government might want to discredit you for calling yourself one. So I'm just wondering if they've noticed or what their thoughts are on that.
All right, Raphael, thank you for that. Gina Kramer, co-chair of San Antonio Democratic Socialists of America. What if you just stopped calling yourself democratic socialist and just tried to fly under the radar, but still achieve these same goals?
Sure. So I appreciate the question. And in some ways, we do that by leading with our values because, we are not extremists. The things that we are fighting and organizing for are popular with working class Americans. you know, what is extreme is the status quo. We're seeing rising homelessness, soaring food costs, unaffordable health care and housing, low wages. And we want our tax dollars to fund these things instead of a genocide in Palestine and an extreme ICE budget. And so I've been an organizer in DSA for 6 years. I'm, you know, a proud democratic socialist, but really I lead with my values, and I'm excited to see the organization grow to be, you know, the largest socialist organization in the country now with over 120,000 members. So the fear and the, like, the fear-mongering and the propaganda, that is because they feel threatened, and they should, because we're organizing and we're winning all across the country, even here in San Antonio.
So let me go back to Ashiq Shadiq about this idea of abolishing the Senate that is in your platform. It does seem out of the out of reach. I don't know how you would actually be. The only way to do that would be to call a constitutional convention, in which that would be new. So why do that? I understand the idea that it is non-representative of the country, and we have these small states that have the same political might as large states. But to get through a constitutional amendment to make that change, it would never pass because the small states would fight against it. Why even put this on the board as something to use against you?
Well, that is something that we would consider part of our longer term horizon of what is the ideal kind of society, the ideal kind of democracy and government that we want to move toward. So nobody thinks we're going to snap our fingers and get rid of the Senate next year. We're on track to have at least 6 Democratic Socialist members of Congress by the end of this year. And still no senators aside from Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, but that is one of the main talking points that Republicans use against you, that you're un-American, you want to get rid of the Senate.
I think it's taken a lot of people by surprise in the past few weeks since we launched our new platform, which you can check out at program.dsausa.org. It's called Workers Deserve More. So this is one of dozens of things that we lay out as part of our vision for the United States. So it's interesting and kind of funny to us that they've seized on the abolish the Senate part, because for us, this is a kind of a basic pro-democracy thing to lay out. There is a tradition in the United States of talking about how undemocratic the Senate is as an institution. It really favors, it's a minoritarian form of government. It really helps preserve more voting rights and decision-making rights for a very small minority of people. So people in Delaware, like you said, have equal voting rights in the Senate as the state of Texas, which is one of the most populated states in this country,
sure.
Millions of people. So that is something that,
so that's, but that's how the country was founded. That's part of the Constitution. We could take a break here, and we're going to continue talking about the DSA. We've got some callers. We'll get you on the board when we come back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, Democratic Socialist of America. It is rising in popularity. It is attracting attention. They are talking about doing more for the workers of America and trying to rein in the power of these billionaires that have a lot of influence in this country. And can that be done? Can they do it? It's about the voters and getting their vote and support into the future. Call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. And let's go to JB on the phones. And JB, you're on The Source.
JB, you're on The Source.
Hello. I don't consider myself either Republican or Democrat, although I do lean heavily toward Democrat. But I think what the Democrats should do is put up a post having the Democrat side and the Republican side with check marks and write down which side leans more toward fascism or authoritarianism. And I bet you the Republican side would lean much further toward fascism or authoritarianism. Excuse me. I just finished eating. But that's all I have to say.
All right. Well, JB, thank you for that. So, Ashiq Shadiq, if you could just really keep this tight, questions about that, the right says you're more authoritarianism.
Yeah, we're fundamentally about expanding democracy. Gene and I both said some things at the beginning of this conversation about how the point is really to expand democracy. For us, we want to expand democracy in government, in elected offices. We also want to expand democracy in our workplaces and eventually over our whole economy. We believe that people should be deciding democratically how work happens and not just have a CEO boss telling us how work happens and how our economy works. So for us, it is very clear that there is a move to the right toward fascism in the United States, and political space to talk about a wide range of ideas has been narrowed more and more over the past few decades, especially. So we want to expand sense of possibility. In other countries that have a parliamentary system, for example, there's more than two political parties. Yeah. Many different perspectives are represented. So that's what we want in the United States, to have a wide range of choices.
Right. And let me go to Gene Cohen about that, about the question of which party is more authoritarian, which more fascist, and if that is that a jump ball? Can anyone claim that?
Yes, I think right now, not always, but right now, it's not even a question. The Republican Party, under the leadership of the president, is very authoritarian, and for the first time since January 6th, and more so, exhibiting key fascist tendencies. I mean, ICE parallels the Gestapo. There's an attempt to denaturalize citizens. There's taking away basic rights, etc. These are
attacks on the press.
Attacks on the press, etc. These are fascist policies. We're not yet in a fascist regime, but we better fight against this. One other thing I would say regarding the DSA
really quick.
Platform about the Senate: we don't have to abolish federalism. You can democratize it. The Senate in Germany has proportional representation for more populous states. So you need a better answer for that. It's not that you want to get rid of federalism. Some of it is important democratically. Think of California. Yeah. But you can democratize it. Okay.
Fantastic. I'm going to go to Almador Salazar. What about locally? We have three members on the city council who are DSA members. So is it gaining ground in San Antonio?
Yeah, absolutely. So, before Zoran Mamdani's like incredible mayoral win, here in San Antonio, we had already elected two DSA members, Jalen McKeith Rodriguez and Terry Castillo. This past cycle, we recently, we elected Rick Galvan. And in that campaign, we knocked on probably over 20,000 doors. So, you know.
Do you think people are voting for the party, the individual, their policies?
So I'd say it's the individual and their policies, right? In our local politics, it's nonpartisan races. So, you know, for the most part, I think a majority of Bexar County is largely part of the Democratic Party. But, you know, when you get to, you know, your city council races, your school board races, there isn't a party affiliation tagged on the name, literally on the ballot. And that gives, you know, a little bit of space for, individuals that want to, you know, implement some of the national DSA vision, but here locally in San Antonio.
Gina Kramer, as an organizer in San Antonio, what do you do? We've got about a minute here. I mean, could other people do that?
Do what? Run for?
No, like you'd be part of the DSA, organize and work with you and, you know, be part of the change.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you do?
DSAUSA.org/join.
Are you phone banking? Are you painting pictures?
All of it.
What are you doing?
Well, not the pictures. I'm graphic design is not my passion, but we call it the DSA difference. When we endorse a candidate, it's not just a paper endorsement. We are knocking on thousands of doors, hosting fundraisers, phone banking, really getting out in the community and talking to people about the values, politics, and policies that
and people
resonate.
Tell you they feel good about that, that they're doing something?
Overwhelmingly.
They're frustrated, they want to see change?
Yes, people love this city and they want to be able to thrive and live here, and the status quo has to change.
All right. I want to thank all of y'all for coming in the studio today. Gina Kramer, co-chair of the San Antonio Democratic Socialists of America, along with her co-chair, Amador Salazar. We heard on the line with Ashiq Shadiq. He is the national co-chair of the Democratic Socialists of America. And also Professor Jean L. Cohen, professor of political science and contemporary civilization at Columbia University, had a robust conversation. Couldn't get all the callers on the air. Sorry about that. But this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Jen White. I love working in public radio. Why? Because I know it matters, and I hope this station matters to you. Right now, I'm asking you to do something that matters to me and anyone who values clear, accurate, fact-based reporting. Make a contribution. Whatever you can afford, it will make a difference. Your support is an essential part of all the reporting you hear on NPR. It sustains local journalism and keeps the public radio heart healthy. And when you become a sustaining member, you're joining all those who understand investing in the long term is what pays real dividends. Thank you for your support. If you've been waiting to make that move, please do it now. It'll be the best decision you make all day. Here's how.
Give us a call, 800-622-8977. You can do it all online at tpr.org and use the TPR app. It's very easy. Just click through, find the level that's right for you, $5 a month, $10 a month. Doesn't have to be a budget buster. It works for you, and then you can also find some thank you gifts that would be just spiffy for you. The future of Texas Public Radio is being shaped by the people who listen every day. Today, now, we're joined by the San Antonio Report. We have now one organization, two separate newsrooms, but one organization. We're expanding local journalism, reaching more people, telling more stories about the city that matters to you, San Antonio, and all across South Central Texas. We're amplifying each other's work, and we're also saving a lot of money through economy of scale. It's going to be just one electric bill now, and not just two, and all these other things we're able to save. This is how we're trying to make sure that your donations, we're going to stretch it as far as we can in order to reach our goals, which is to give you great journalism day in and day out. So if that sounds good to you, join us with our summer fundraising drive. Every gift is matched dollar for dollar. Visit tpr.org, use the TPR app, give us a call, 800-622-8977, to tell us more. Dan Katz, Vice President of News.
And we are running out of time to finish this drive, but we are not running out of momentum. Listeners have already brought us within $65,000 of our $250,000 goal. Now we need the Source audience to help carry us across the finish line. Every gift is matched dollar for dollar. So this is the moment when your support goes twice as far and helps us end this drive. You can give now, tpr.org. You can call 800-622-8977. You know, you just heard this conversation on The Source was made possible, thoughtful, local, and willing to stay within a complicated issue long enough to understand it. That work is available to everyone, but it is funded by listeners who believe that San Antonio deserves it. We have $65,372 left to raise. Every gift is matched dollar for dollar. Help us close the gap. Give now, tpr.org, or you can call 800-622-8977.
In that conversation, we're talking about the Democratic Socialists of America, and we've heard all these talking points about, you know, they're communist and they have an extreme agenda. But you start listening to them and you hear, hey, they're not that different than everybody else. I mean, talking about having a better nation, creating things that are for the next generation. And I think there are topics there to apply to everyone, regardless of your political background and what you want for. We all want good things for the next generation. And so what we're trying to do here, we're not trying to drive people apart. We're trying to bring people together. We're trying to build communities, not put you into a uncomfortable pigeonhole. And that's what public radio is all about, building community, bringing people together, exchanging ideas, figuring out how can we make a better future for our community and our children. We have to think about this in the long term, and also what do we have in common, what is possible. And people at one time said having a public radio station in San Antonio was impossible, but we proved them wrong, and we prove them wrong every time we have a pledge drive and we reach our goals. So support Texas Public Radio. Your donation matters. You're creating the future. 800-622-8977. Go online to tpr.org. Go on the TPR app. Last words, Dan.
We've been referring to this phenomenon as TPR members versus the world. On one side, rumors outrage people hoping no one asks too many questions. On the other, listeners who believe that San Antonio deserves facts, context, and a newsroom willing to do the work. We know where you stand.
800-622-8977. Thank you so much.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.